Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew, chapter 14, for the message this morning. There are two roses on the organ. They're here in honor of Howard and Mina Otto. They were in early service this morning, and today is their 69th wedding anniversary. 69 years. And I was teasing Mina that after 69 years, poor old Howard, he can't get away with anything, can he? This old boy down in West Virginia got taken in by the police, and he was over there for a long time. Finally, he came back, and his buddies were all gathered around, and they said, well, where you been? What? I said, been police station. He said, what'd you see over there? He said, oh, my, you wouldn't believe it. He said, man, they got a machine. They can hook it up to your body, and it'll tell if you're lying. And he said, I married that. So poor old Howard, he couldn't tell a lie right now if he wanted to, could he? She done got him figured out. All right, Matthew chapter 14. I want to read a familiar passage of Scripture to you. And this is the account of the feeding of the 5,000. And I want to read a few verses leading up to it and then read where the Lord fed the multitude. And I want you to follow along carefully. I'm going to highlight a couple of things as I read. And if you would, please take mental note of those things. They will play a part in the message this morning. Beginning in verse 13, please. Verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. You and I think of the word desert like a deserted place. All right, it's not a, you know, sand and mounds of sand and all that. No, it just means he's wanting to get away, wanting to get isolated. So he's wanting to get away from the crowd. All right, so he departed by ship. So in other words, they're on the Sea of Galilee, and they're going to a place away from the crowd. But then the verse says, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Now notice that. They followed him on foot out of the cities. So here is the gathering of this huge crowd that is going to be waiting when his ship hits the shore. Verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. Notice that. Moved with compassion toward the multitude. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. All right, let me help you with that word, victuals. All right, remember the Beverly Hillbillies? All right, Jethro and Granny and all that bunch, they fixed victuals. All right, victuals has, it kind of lost its punch through the years and was hillbillyized and became victuals. All right, so that, in other words, send them away so they can go to McDavid's and get a hamburger. Verse 16, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. So Jesus is telling the disciples, they don't need to leave. You give them something to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, when you think of loaves of bread, you think, you know, like this, right? Big old loaf of bread. No, these were little biscuits, just little biscuits. That's just unleavened biscuits. All right. All we got is 5 biscuits and 2 little fishes. And you think of fish, you think of a big piece of fish. No, these were like little sardines that they caught in the Sea of Galilee, just little tiny fish, and they packed them in salt and let them dry out. And then that's what they ate for lunch. So they didn't have a whole lot, just five little biscuits and two little fish. He said, verse 18, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Now notice that. He asked them to give him what they had. They gave it. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to the 12. And the 12 then gave to the multitude. All right? That's a miracle. That you could take five little biscuits and two little sardines and feed a multitude is a miracle. All right, but notice the order. He gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did, what's the next word? All right, everybody come to church. What's the next word? All. They did all eat. And were, what's the next word? Filled. Now, I don't know about you, but five little cookies and a few guppies is not going to fill me up. I eat more than that. But they ate what was given, and they were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Wow. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the wonderful Word of God. And I pray that you will bless this morning as we take a look at this passage of Scripture. And Father, may we glean some things this morning that will benefit and help us and encourage us in our service for you. We're just so thankful for the precious promises that we have in this book. We're thankful for the eternal principles that are here, principles that never change. And what we can glean from this will benefit every heart if we'll listen and if we will apply the Word of God to our hearts. So, Father, help me this morning as I speak. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and enable and help me to communicate these truths and these principles. And Lord, may we see the pictures and may we realize the truths and see them in their reality and how they can benefit us as we live for you in these last days of the last days. Father, help us now, we pray. Guide and direct throughout the message. In Jesus' precious name we ask it, and amen. I want you to realize that this feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that Jesus performed that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. It's the only one, the only miracle that is in all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John contain this story. And it's the only one that is included in all four of these Gospels. Now, I take from that fact that this miracle made a huge impression on everyone who witnessed it. And what happened here was so remarkable that nobody in the region could forget about it. Nobody. You just imagine, folks, this taking five little pieces of bread and multiplying those and feeding an entire multitude of people. It's amazing. Now, to us, the raising of Lazarus from the dead is more astounding than this seaside picnic that took place on the shores of Galilee. But had we lived in Galilee, and had we heard all the facts repeated, or had we been there and witnessed this, had we heard all the facts repeated nightly as the story was told and told and told and retold around the dinner table, we might have found that this miracle was the one that was indeed engraved the deepest in our hearts. For you see, most of the other miracles that Jesus performed were only witnessed by a few people. For example, there was no crowd around when that widow lady from the little village of Nain got her son brought back to life. There was no huge multitude to witness that. Only the disciples and a few family members saw that take place. There were only a few people from the village of Bethany who were there on the day when Jesus commanded Lazarus to come forth from the grave, and Jesus walked out bound in the grave clothes. There was not a multitude that saw that miracle take place. But here in this passage of Scripture, we read that thousands came out. They came out of the cities. You have heard me, and you've read it in the Bible, speak of the city called Decapolis. Well, that was not just one city. That was 10 cities. They were basically Roman outposts, all scattered across the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee. And thousands of people lived in these Roman cities. And that's the cities that people were just pouring out of to come and to spend the day with Jesus. They were bringing their sick family members. They were bringing their infirmed loved ones. They were bringing their problems to the Lord. And the Lord spent all day meeting the needs of people. And here in this passage, the Bible tells us that 5,000 men were there. Now, it says in verse 21, 5,000 men beside women and children. Now, let's suppose that all the men had their wives there. If they did, that's 10,000 people. And then when you add the 3.2 children, that makes for a huge crowd, does it not? I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands of people gathering along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and every mouth had been given their fill of bread. And so you can be sure that every mouth would talk about this every single chance they got. And that deep impression that this left upon the thousands who had witnessed it is magnified fourfold by being included in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, let me just give you a little summation of the day. I did not read the whole chapter, and nor did I go to Mark and Luke and John and fill in the blanks to give you all the events that happened during the day. But it had been a long and full day for the Lord Jesus and for his disciples and for the crowds of people that gathered to listen and to spend the day with the Lord, for this huge throng of people. Jesus and his disciples put a boat in the water in the Sea of Galilee on the eastern side of the sea and were determined to row across to the north side, probably just to the right of Capernaum, where they could get away from the massive crowd of people that had been following and had been at Jesus' side for hours. And as they rowed, this crowd of people on the shore could see their every move, and they saw the direction in which they were headed. So quickly, they ran as fast as their legs would carry them to make sure that when Jesus landed the boat, they would be there waiting, because they did not want to miss a thing. So they made sure that they followed as quickly as they possibly could so they could be there when the boat landed. This crowd that followed was made up of folks who lived in the area. That's what Our text tells us, verse 13 tells us, that the people came out of the cities. And of course, if you read the verses before, you will find out that Jesus had been in Jerusalem. And of course, multitudes of people traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover, which was why he was there. And so as Jesus is coming out of Jerusalem, the crowd is following, and then they come into Galilee, and people are coming from everywhere out of the cities of Galilee, and they did not dare tear themselves away from the Savior. So when the boat landed on the northern shore, here was this a huge multitude of people who were waiting on him. No doubt, folks came out of all those little villages in and around Capernaum to watch as the Lord Jesus healed their sick and cured disease and restored sight. And then they listened as he taught. And then as the evening crept on, they stayed while he fed them. Now, when the feast ended, the people went home. They were satisfied. They were happy. They had had a wonderful day, and it was time now to go. And the disciples rode over to Capernaum, and then we're told that the Lord Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. Now, that's the story. Everybody got the story? Now, there are a couple things that I want you to see. There are actually four things that I want you to see about this amazing event that took place, the feeding of the 5,000. Or I should say, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Four things. Number one, I want you to realize that this miracle had its roots in our Lord's compassion. Now, that's what the text here tells us in verse 14. It says, "And when Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, he healed their sick." I want you to realize that this miracle had its roots in our Lord's compassion. We are told that when the Lord Jesus stepped out of the boat, he saw this mass of people standing there, and of course he could see that they had with them their loved ones. They had with them those that had disease and those that had been injured and could not heal, their arms broken or their legs broken, and they were unable to function normally. And when the Lord saw this multitude of people, he saw their loved ones, and he had compassion towards them. It was his compassion toward the people that moved him to do all that we read about in this passage. They brought their sick. They brought their infirmed. They brought their diseased. They brought those that were stricken with illness. And he healed them. You see, he was God in the flesh. And as God in the flesh, he saw what sin and the effects of sin had done to these poor folks. And it just broke his heart. And so he ministered to their to their needs. Now, you've heard me say, back when we did a study on the life of Christ on Wednesday nights a few years ago, that I doubt seriously if anybody in that whole Galilee area had, I doubt anybody up there was sick after our Lord ministered there as long as he did. I don't know about you, but if I was sick and I had heard about this miracle worker, I would have gone to see him, wouldn't you? If I had some disease or if I had some infirmity and I heard all the wonderful things that this man was able to do, I would have just gone to see him just as quickly as I could. And if I had a child who was sick, or I had a dad who was sick, or I had a mother who was sick, I would put them on an animal or on a cart, and I would get them to see Jesus. And you get the idea that that Jesus spent all day just meeting the needs of these people. That, folks, is the glorious thing about divine compassion. It is from our Lord's divine compassion where we find the spring and the fountain of these noble deeds that he did. You see, we can see somebody who is infirmed or is sick. We can see somebody who has a cancer or some disease, and we might have pity upon them, but we cannot help them. I wish I could help folks like that. I wish I had the power to just put my hand up or put my hand on them and just speak and they be healed of their disease. I wish I could do that. But our Lord could do that. You see, he was God. I'm not God. I can't do that. The best I can do is have pity. I can feel sorry for folks that are infirmed. I mean, I can have a sad heart and sympathize with them, but I cannot meet their needs. I cannot help them like the Lord can. But the compassion of our Savior sprang into action, and he started to work. His compassion started him healing those whom sin had afflicted. His compassion started him teaching and feeding hungry men and women and children and taking care of all of their needs. And folks, listen, this same compassion draws him today to the same service. It is this compassion that draws him today to the same service. Do we not read in the book of Hebrews that the Lord Jesus is our compassionate high priest today? He is a high priest who knows the feeling of my infirmities. The reason he knows it is because he was here. He experienced life. He knows what it is to go through life and to grow old and to get aches and pains and to have sorrows and to have rebellion in the family. He knows what it's like to have a hurting heart. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He's been there. And folks, he is our compassionate high priest today. Just as he saw the multitude on this day along the shores of Galilee and had compassion upon them, he sees the multitude of his children today, and he sees the struggles that you and I face and the battles that we fight and the problems that we have to deal with. And he was there once before and saw it, and so he's fully aware right now of what you and I have to deal with. And just as he saw these folks and had compassion and then helped them, you can rest assured that he sees you and has compassion upon you and the struggles that you are facing. And he's more than willing and more than eager to come to your aid. He will lift us up when we're fallen. He will give us strength when we are weak. He will give us compassion when we need that compassion. And I'm saying that whatever it is you need, the Lord Jesus can meet that need. He will feed my poor, starving soul when I'm spiritually hungry. That's what he did to these folks. It's getting late, Lord. We got to feed these folks. Let them go home so they can get something to eat. Well, the Lord said there's no need for that. Well, you got to eat. Oh, Lord, all we got are these 5 loaves and these 2 fishes. Well, let me have that. And so he fed the whole multitude. He did it miraculously. You see, his grace is sufficient for whatever may come our way. He sees what sin has done. He sees how it has crippled us. He sees how it has broken our hearts and our bodies. And with tender compassion, he cries out to everyone, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, folks, it was his divine compassion that moved him to do these things. And I'm telling you, he's still compassionate today. What is it that is on your heart this morning? What burden are you carrying this morning? What ailment do you have this morning? What kind of strength do you need this morning? Whatever it is, I'm here today to tell you that the one who has walked where we have walked is there if you'll just trust him. There's a second thing I want you to see. Secondly, I want you to notice this. There was only one thing on the menu that day. One thing. You say, well, no, Pastor, there was two things. There was bread and there was fish. Doesn't say he multiplied the fish. It says he multiplied the bread. He gave them bread to eat. The bread was sufficient. You look carefully at it. Doesn't say he multiplied the fish. So I always thought he took the fish and multiplied it. Doesn't say he multiplied the fish. There was one thing on the menu. He multiplied the bread. Why? Because he's the bread of life. He's the bread of life. Now, folks, think of it. There are thousands of people here. Probably 10, 12, maybe even as high as 15 to 18,000 people, depending on how many children and how many wives were there. There's a huge crowd of people that have come from all over to see and to hear Jesus. They are also, the crowd has increased because they are bringing their sick loved ones to him. It's a bigger crowd than normal because you've got all the homebound folks that are coming out so that he could heal them. No doubt from every section of society, everybody was well represented. They, no doubt there were the rich there as well as the poor folks that were there. There were businessmen and laborers and farmers and great landowners were there, but also those that worked that land and who gathered the crops of the farmers. There was the mother who bounced a baby in her arms while her other children romped and played on the grass around her feet. There were the old men who were there, and they were watching with great amazement, for never had they seen anything like this before. And of course, the younger people were there. Can you see all these teenagers walking around? Can you see all these children running around? Oh my goodness, everybody came out. And yet, Jesus fed them all with the same bread. This man's portion was the exact same as that man's portion. They all got the same thing. That's amazing to me. The amazing thing is that there is no record that anyone refused the portion that was given to them. They doled it out to everyone, and everyone ate. And notice in verse 20, when they ate, the Bible says that they were all filled. I like that. I remember the day as a 16-year-old teenager, lost, rebellious as I could be, when I first heard the words of the Savior from the mouth of a preacher. And I realized as I sat in that service that my soul was starving to death. And I called out for the bread of life, and he willingly gave me to eat. And looking back on it now, I can see getting up in my mind's eye. I can see myself rising up off of that altar after having prayed and received Christ as my Savior. And I remember my soul being satisfied with what the Lord had given me. The point is, folks, the wonderful thing about Christ's bread is that it satisfies us all. Doesn't matter how much education you have or how much you don't have. Doesn't matter how much money you've got or how much you don't have. Doesn't matter how much hair you have or how much you don't have. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what color your skin is, what type your blood is. None of that matters. There's one thing on the menu, and that's the bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. We all get in the same way. Somebody has said the ground is level at the foot of the cross, and how true that is. Whether you're educated like Saul of Tarsus or whether you're an uneducated fisherman like the disciples from Bethsaida, Peter, James, and John, the same bread is given to the hungry. What a world of difference there was between Lydia in the book of Acts, a seller of purple, and a Philippian jailer. Yet the power of the gospel was sufficient to save each one and to satisfy their souls. The same grace, the same love, the same gospel is what is offered to each of us. You know, folks, I was thinking about it this week. Through the years, I have seen doctors get saved. Not a whole lot. But I've seen a couple of doctors get saved. I've seen politicians get saved. Very few. Very few through the years. I've seen millionaire businessmen get saved. But then I've also seen drunkards get saved. I've seen drug addicts get saved. I remember one time when I was down in West Virginia. We had a fella come to church one Sunday night. This guy was a drunkard. He was just a drunkard. And he had just gotten bad news about how the alcohol had pickled his liver. And the doctor told him he's going to have to quit drinking, but he couldn't give it up. And his wife was about to kill him. And he came to church. I didn't even know, honestly. Hand in the air, I did not know. And he sat right down here about on the fourth row. And I preached that night and somehow or another got to chasing a rabbit. You know, I've been known to do that every now and then. I got to chasing a rabbit, got completely away from my message and was out here chasing a rabbit around the hillside. But anyway, in the course of chasing the rabbit, I got way offline and I said, some of you, I said, you go out and you buy that old, and I named the beer. I don't remember what I called it that, but I named it, called it by name. And it was his kind of beer that he drank. I said, you go out and you buy that old whatever it is beer and you take it down in the basement and you pull those pieces of plywood apart and you hide it back there so your wife can't find it. And then you sneak down there and you drink it. Well, man, I didn't know. But after the service was over with, this man came bounding out during the invitation and ran to the altar and went like this. And I went down and he said, how'd you know? I said, how'd I know what? He said, how'd you know I drink? And he named the name of the beer. And I said, I didn't know. He said, how'd you know that I take it down in the basement and I hide it behind the plywood that I have leaned up against the wall? How'd you know that? And I said, I didn't know, sir, but God knew and God must have told me. And man, that old boy got saved and turned his life around. I've seen all kinds get saved. But the point is, we all get saved through the same source, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we all come and feast upon the bread of life. The gospel comes to all, and it offers to us the same opportunities. Listen, folks, there is only one gospel, but one is all we need. And the glorious thing is that if we will simply take it and eat it, we will be satisfied and we will be fed. Then there's a third thing I want you to see. In satisfying the needs of men, Christ uses the gifts which men bring to him. Now let me say it again. Listen carefully. In satisfying the needs of the multitude, let me say it that way. In satisfying the needs of the multitude, Christ uses the gifts which men bring to him. Now watch, folks, this is so important. I want you to see this. If he had wanted to, he could have commanded the stones that were laying on the ground be turned into bread. Had he wanted to, he was God Almighty. He could have simply spoken and turned the rocks into bread. If you remember, there was a time when he called water out of a rock. If you remember, there was a time when he dropped manna out of the windows of heaven and the manna fell right outside the door of the tents for the children of Israel. And he could have done those miracles again if he had chosen to. But Christ's miracles in the New Testament, Christ's miracles were acted out parables. They were not done to amaze. They were done to instruct. And so he takes what the disciples give him and he uses it to feed the crowd. Folks, can you not imagine the conversation that morning as the little boy wakes from his sleep and he comes in and says, "Mom, are we going to go find Jesus today? Word is, he's here in Galilee. Mom, can we go find him? Please, Mom, I'm begging you. I just want to see him. I just want to hear him. I need to meet the Lord Jesus." And Mom's standing over the table and she takes a little sack and she puts 5 little leftover pieces of bread in that sack. And she reaches over and grabs 2 little fish and she drops them down in that bag. And she rolls it up and she gets a piece of leather and she ties it around his waist and she says, "Yeah, we can go, but I know you. As soon as you get, you're going to run ahead and I'm not going to know where you are and I'm going to be worried to death about you. So listen, don't you dare take this food off. You eat this food. I don't want you getting sick on me. Do you understand me, son?" And boy, he looks at Mama and he says, "Mama, anything you want, I just got to go see Jesus." And so out the door, he runs that little sack on his side. And man, the crowd and everybody listening and watching, and miracle after miracle after miracle is performed. And that little boy is so excited, food is the farthest thing from his mind. And now it's evening time. And as the sun is starting to set over the western hills of Galilee, one of the disciples says, "We need to send these people home so they can get something to eat. Look at this crowd. How are we going to feed this crowd?" And the little boy says, "I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I haven't eaten my lunch yet. I got this." One of the disciples looks over and grabs it and says, "What good is this among all these people?" And that's when the Lord Jesus said, "Give me what you got." And so he satisfies the needs of the multitude using the gifts which men bring to him. Folks, I learned from this that it is our Lord's way. This is our Lord's way to help the world through men, through you. This is God's method. This is how God does it. He doesn't send the angels to witness for him. He doesn't send the cherubim or the seraphim out to witness for him. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And so it's his plan to populate the kingdom of heaven by using each one of us. So if we take our gifts, however small, however humble, and we give them to Jesus, he will bless those gifts, multiply those gifts, and use them so that we are amazed. And so we recognize, just like with this miracle, that it could have only come from his hand. Haven't you been amazed at what God does with you when you give yourself to him? I mean, haven't you been amazed? You'll volunteer to go down to Baltimore to witness, or you'll volunteer to go down here to the kitchen down here, to the jail. You'll volunteer to go down here where they hand out food. And you'll stand out there and pass out tracts and witness. And when the day's over, you stand and say, "Wow, man, I was able to lead 4 people to Christ today." Yep. And you say, "It's amazing that God can use me." Yeah, it is. It's amazing God can use any of us. But that's all he's got to work with. I'm amazed at how God has blessed in my life. I'm just amazed. I mean, I'm just an old sinner that was saved by grace, an old hillbilly from a holler down in West Virginia. I mean, a nobody. And don't say amen right there, because you ain't nobody either. All right? But boy, God uses nobodies. And if God can use a nobody like me, God can use a nobody like you. And if you'll just avail yourself, just give yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I may not be much, but what I have, I give unto you. I remember years ago hearing the call to preach Friday night just outside of Ripley, West Virginia, Spencer, West Virginia. And I remember the call that God gave me to preach. And I remember standing there thinking, oh, no, Lord, no, not a preacher, no. I do not want to be a preacher. But the Lord would not let up. And so finally I surrendered and I said, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. That was 41 years ago. 41 years ago. And now, here in 2012, I can look back and see thousands upon thousands of people who have taken the bread that I gave to the Lord 41 years ago. And they have eaten that bread and they have been satisfied. And not one time have I ever thought that it was me doing it. No, sir. No, sir. I know it's been the Lord. I know it's been the Lord. So in satisfying the needs of the multitude, Christ uses the gifts which men bring to him. But then number four, quickly, I see it was in the breaking that the bread increased. Now look, please, if you will, at verse 19. He said that he took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and his disciples to the multitude. Folks, it was in the breaking that the bread increased. He took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it, and it just kept increasing. You say, that's a miracle. Exactly right. That's exactly what it was. Now watch, this is amazing. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, and as he did, it increased. It was through the blessing that the miracle was wrought, and it was through the breaking that the miracle was realized. And that shows me that it is through the breaking of your life and mine where the increase comes from. It is in the using of our gifts, with God's blessing, where our gifts are enlarged. I guess the point is, folks, if we would just use our gifts, we just might see more multiplication. Oh, that we would just be broken for Jesus. I was wondering this morning, what could God do with this group right here this morning? What could God do if we would just be broken in his hands? What could God do? I mean, if we would just use our gifts, what could God do with just what's here this morning? He could fill up this entire area with his blessing upon our brokenness. And there's one more thing I want you to notice as I close. Look, please, if you will, at verse 20. It says, and they did all eat and were filled. Now watch this. And they took up the fragments. You know what the fragments were? Leftovers. Leftovers. They took up the fragments that remained. And notice that Matthew tells us 12 baskets full. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Why bother with those? Why bother with the leftovers? Everyone was full, weren't they? I mean, didn't everybody get all they needed? Well, no, not exactly. You see, the disciples didn't, because they were busy passing out all the bread. Everybody in the multitude, they all got full, but the disciples had the responsibility of taking what Jesus had blessed and broken and then passing it out to everybody else. So The disciples didn't because they were so busy distributing everything out to everyone else. But if you look at verse 20, how many baskets did they gather? 12. And how many disciples were there? 12. Amazing, isn't it? There is God's provision and grace to those who are willing to be the servers. If you'll just be a servant, you'll get everything you need. That's the promise. Not a single soul left Galilee hungry on that day. Not a one. Isn't that amazing? And you know, folks, that's just our Lord. That's just the way our Lord is. You say, well, Pastor, I'm here this morning because I'm hungry. There's something missing. It's called spiritual bread. That's what's missing. And you need that bread this morning. And you know, there's not a reason that anyone should leave here this morning spiritually hungry. Not one reason. Because the bread of life is here. Wouldn't you like to have your spiritual soul satisfied today? Well, if you'll eat of this bread, you'll never be hungry again. May God help us to see the miracle in the feeding of the 5,000.